Blog Talk Radio.
We are not alone. And a very, very good evening, everyone. Once again, you are listening to Contact, and this is your host, Leslie Mitchell-Clark, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host and certainly also the producer of Contact, Mr. Wes Roberts. Good evening, Wes. How are you doing?
Hey, Leslie. I'm doing very well tonight and really looking forward to this conversation.
We are. In fact, we're welcoming someone to the show who has not yet visited us, and I'm talking about Mr. Jason Quitt. And Jason is a graduate of the Institute of Energy Wellness. He's a student of Algonquin shamanism, and he has been training and working with many teachers, shamans, and traditional healers from all over the world. In fact, right now he's in Japan. How about that?
It's amazing, actually.
It is. Jason is also the author and also a teacher of Egyptian Postures of Power and the Yosef Codes, which are methods of personal healing and practice, and I can't wait to get into that as well. Mm-hmm. And as a channeler of universal and dimensional energies of healing, Jason continues to combine these methods and modalities of energy medicine, shamanism, and dowsing to assist those on their own personal paths of healing and enlightenment. And Jason is currently working on some very exciting projects. I'm sure he'll share with us Tesla Magazine, the Tesla Mania Exposition, and the Healing Field documentary. So we're going to get into all of that. And I should mention, folks, that this show is pre-recorded this evening as we are talking to Mr. Jason Quitt from Japan. And we are also wanting you to remember that Jason is going to be participating in the Alien Cosmic Expo, which is happening on June 26th, 27th, and 28th in Brantford, Ontario, which is just a short drive from Toronto, really. And I believe there are still tickets available. I'm not sure it's completely sold out, but log on to aliencosmicexpo.com, and you can get your tickets. You can get tickets for the day or for the whole three-day event. All right. Wes, we just want to thank our sponsors real quickly.
Sure. So that start with UFOria, James Borg and Company, who have backed us all along the way. We're deeply appreciative of that. Variety Store Productions is another sponsor, a great guy for video and audio production. The Canadian Hypnosis Conference, the Alien Cosmic Expo, of course, which is coming up, Enchanted Reveries as well, and who are we missing?
And the Conspiracy Culture Store.
Yes, Patrick.
Our own friend Patrick White, who has this marvelous, it's not just a bookstore, folks, it's a kind of a community center, really, for alternative thought, and he has a marvelous lecture series. He's also very involved with Modern Knowledge, the gentleman that present many fascinating events across Canada. So there you go. Well, without further ado, I would like to welcome directly from Japan, Mr. Jason Quitt. Jason, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And I see that you look remarkably wide awake, considering it's 6 a.m. for you. So we do appreciate you chatting with us. And I appreciate that you're not wearing your yukata, that you actually put on some clothes. Thank you very much.
So, oh, you're welcome.
Shows respect, I'm sure. And anyway, now I just gave the most basic overview of your life and your work and your focus, and I think maybe it might be best to start off our chat if you were to tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today. Now, I know that you had a series of very profound experiences in your 20s, and perhaps you'd like to tell us a bit about that.
For sure. I came into this life with pre-birth memories. So I remember coming here to this planet with other children. I remember even picking my getting to see my parents and picking my parents before I even incarnated here. And so that was an interesting experience. And, you know, it saves a lot on therapy when you realize that you actually choose your parents here.
No kidding. In fact, I say that all the time. You're really talking about memories of the interlife or the life between lifetimes.
That's right.
Okay, marvelous.
So yeah, there is like a transition period where it's almost like you're a new human, you're a baby, and now you're getting to choose and experience it. So you're not totally shocked when you come here. And when I was growing up, I was opened. I could leave my body. I could see things that weren't there. And when you're a child and able to see these things, it's not usually the nicest things you're seeing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird stuff, a lot of scary things. And I'd always be frightened when I would see different beings or ghosts or things of that nature. And I'd always run to my parents, and they would just kind of tell me, you know, these are just nightmares. It's nothing to worry about. So I thought, you know, everybody had these abilities. So they just kind of faded away over time. And I remember I went to a new school when I was about 11 years old, and I saw this person there. And right when I saw this person, all these past lives started to come right back to me of my life with that person. And I remember running over to this kid who's never seen me ever, giving them a big hug and saying, "Hey, don't you remember me?"
Wow.
And, you know, you learn very quickly that maybe not everybody sees the world the way I see the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, I lived a very normal life, normal childhood, and, you know, I started my own company out of college. It was actually a music studio. So we were recording music and we were doing graphic design. And during that time period, things started to happen to me. I would go to sleep at night, and I would wake up completely frozen into this sleep paralysis. And this would start to happen to me pretty much almost every single night.
Oh, wow.
And it was very scary, and I don't know if you've experienced this or your listeners have experienced this, but pretty much your entire body is frozen and your mind is awake. So you're literally screaming in your mind to, like, wake up and move a finger or do something, because it's almost like you're stuck in your body.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not fun having these experiences.
Indeed.
And as this was happening, I started to feel things walking around my bedroom, which for me was even more scary. And, you know, your mind goes to fear immediately. It's, you know, is this demons? Is it alien abduction? Like, what is happening to me? And one night, I couldn't take it any longer. I just shook and shook and shook inside my body to try to wake myself up. And I shook so hard that I actually popped myself out of my body and had an outer body experience. And when I sat up out of my body, there was a very tall being standing right in front of me, looking right at me. And that scared me so much that I went right back into my body and woke up.
Wow.
But ever since that happened, I never had sleep paralysis ever again. And it reminded me of what it felt like to leave my body. So I started to play with that. So I would go to sleep and I'd put myself under, it's almost like a hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I turn my body off, but my mind is still totally conscious in my body.
Yes.
And then I could shake myself out. So I started to practice, and I got quite good at it, learning how to do this. And at first, it's just I'm floating around my room just trying to get the hang of things, because, you know, people talk about like an astral body, like it's a human form. For me, it wasn't like that at all. It was you're just a ball of energy.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have eyes, you don't have a mouth, you're not breathing. You have total 360 degree vision. And an interesting thing in that state is that using your thoughts or your mind, you could actually zoom in and out of things. So if I wanted to look at, let's say, a crystal at the other side of my room, I could like zoom right in there, and I could even zoom like smaller and smaller and smaller into it.
Wow.
So it's a very interesting vision when you're out of your body.
Yeah.
And then things started to happen where I'm guessing that other beings or my guides or angels, they're watching me do all these things. So I started to have beings come to me every night and pull me out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And they would start taking me on all these journeys. And I'll have to say that I wouldn't wish any of these journeys on any person on this planet.
Wow.
They were quite frightening. And I would call them astral time travel. And what that's like is I would be taken, it's almost like I'd be zoomed out into outer space, and I could see the planet underneath me. And then the beings would be standing behind me, holding me, and then we would zoom or shoot back down to different points on the planet, but it would be different timelines.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So, and what they would do is just drop me off somewhere to experience a timeline, and they would just leave me there. And sometimes it was quite a long time they left me there. So then they'd come back, pick me up, and then put me back in my body, and I'd wake up in the morning. You know, I could be gone for days.
Yeah.
But I would wake up the next morning, and these journeys were quite hard on me. So I couldn't really tell anybody these things, or I couldn't even talk about them because they were just so traumatizing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I asked them to please stop this. It's too much.
Yeah.
And then the journeys changed.
Okay.
And from that point on, I started to receive all these messages. And the point, and all the messages were, before you go on your journey, before you become who you will become, you have to heal yourself. There is no other way of getting to point A to point B unless you heal yourself.
Uh-huh.
And that's a pretty profound message.
Yes.
And being in my early 20s, I kind of freaked out thinking that I was dying.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I, you know, I went to see every doctor I could. I got every test I could taken. And the joke of it all was every test came back better than normal, better than normal, better than normal.
Yeah.
So doctors were not my answer for healing myself. And then I got a message saying, I need to learn Qigong. Are you familiar with Qigong or
yes.
Tai Chi?
Yes, certainly. Yes, it's a meridian-based balancing mind-body soul exercise system.
Yes. So I started to practice. You know, I listen. So if someone's telling me to do something, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to try to be the best at it. So I started to practice every single day. And even though I was having these crazy outer-body experiences and getting all these messages, when I came back to my body, I was completely normal, like completely numb. I had no abilities, no nothing, right? And I would practice the Qigong, and it took about a year of practice until I started to awaken my energy bodies in the physical body.
Uh-huh.
So after about a year, I could finally, you know, put my hands together and feel energy between them. And once this process started to happen with the Qigong, I started to sensitize myself to my chakras, my meridian systems, my energy bodies, and I really started to bring the spiritual into the physical, and I think that's what the Qigong does.
Yes, it's an integration system, I believe, like many other disciplines of that ilk.
Mm-hmm. So I was at a health show once. This is when I started to do Qigong, and I walked by a booth, and it was a shungite booth. It's like this stones from Russia.
Yes.
And there was pictures at that booth of Egyptians standing there holding these stones in different postures.
Yes.
And I picked up these stones and held them, and immediately I felt my energy boost out of my body, and I felt energy building in my solar plexus area. And I know that feeling when I do Qigong. It takes about a half an hour of Qigong for me to feel that. But right when I grabbed these things, it was instantly turned on. And I'm like, wow, like this is really amazing. So I bought these tools, and I started to play with them at home. And as I was moving my arms around, I can feel it moving the energy of my body around very powerfully. And when I would go to sleep at night, I would call them like Egyptian beings or Egyptian gods would come pull me out of my body at night and take me back to Egypt. And they would be showing me all these different postures to stand in. And when I would stand in those postures, it felt like a portal would open above my head and all this warm, tingly energy would enter every cell in my body. And it was very powerful. So through these journeys, I recorded all these postures, and from it, I released that book, The Egyptian Postures of Power, which is what I'm actually teaching here in Japan.
Ah.
But, you know, without those systems, without being taught Qigong and all these things, I don't know if I would have survived. Because I believe energetically I was in a very bad state when these things first started to happen. And the more that I healed, the stronger I became, the cleaner my visions became, and everything just started to go into alignment. And what I teach about these systems is that you're your own healer. And every person needs to take their own power back, and they need to be responsible for their own healing journey.
Yes.
Because, you know, we can run around to all these healers, but all that stuff is temporary. We need to become the healer to actually make the proper steps.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. Jason, if I just might interject this one question that I have.
Sure.
It seems to me that your experience when you were in your 20s, this pivotal experience that involved some, a sleep paralysis, if you will, do you think that this was an experience that was put in your timeline, a kind of collaboration with the tall being who helped you to fight to a certain type of lucid awareness where you could then relearn how to pull yourself out of your body, that in fact maybe throughout your childhood or adolescence prior to that point when you were 20, that you had had many experiences, but none of them had been, shall we say, instigated by your own soul journey?
Yes. And, you know, at first I was thinking, you know, why me? And, you know, why, like, I don't want this. Like, I never asked for this. And I was quite upset going through this process. But afterwards, and this took a lot of time and meditation to figure out, but it was really me and my soul family waking me up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like myself waking myself up.
Right, right.
And it's a totally different awareness. And through these journeys, you really change, and it's almost like you learn life again once you go through these experiences, mm-hmm. because we don't just live here. We're a multidimensional being that is having countless experiences, not only here, but through in other dimensions, other star systems, and even other universes. And we're kind of separated by these boundary lines. Mm-hmm. And I've, through my questioning of all these things, I've actually broken a lot of these boundary lines, which were quickly set back up. and I realized why. And there was one experience that was really getting me to ask a lot of questions. Was I would leave my body and a portal would open up in my room, and then I would go through the portal. And it's almost like I'd feel like I've been traveling like throughout time and space. Like that's what it feels like when you go through these portals. And then when I get to my destination, my consciousness is shut off and I'm back in my bed thinking, well, where did I just go? And then another portal will open up somewhere else in the room, and I would continue to do this. So every night it's like I would leave my body like 40, 50 times going to all these different portals.
Wow.
But there would be no consciousness or no memory of what just happened after I went through it.
Yeah.
And that really bothered me, because I knew I was going somewhere. So I'm like, you know, where am I going? I want to be conscious. Like, just let me remember a journey of this. And so that was actually granted to me. So I actually went through this portal, came out the other side, and my guide is holding behind me, and I see we're flying through space. And I say, where are we going? And they say, the Pegasus star system. I say, okay. And we come and we see some planets, and they take me down to one planet, and it was almost like an ice planet. And just around the equator was a little green. So it was mostly ice, but around the equator was a little green. And there was a school there. And they took me down there, and I actually, it was almost like my consciousness went into a person there. So I woke up in a classroom. And I don't know if you've ever seen the show Stargate.
Of course.
Okay, you know those stones where they hold a stone and then suddenly they're in someone else's body?
Yeah.
The communication stones?
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. So I woke up in a classroom in Pegasus in someone else's body. And I was so amazed that I got up and I was running around and asking people, who am I? Like, what's my name? And I was just so excited. And I was probably causing a lot of ruckus there. So I got pulled back out and taken back. And what they were showing me was that our consciousness is living multiple existences all at once.
Really, so kind of as in the Seth materials, or even in the more recent channelings of Bashar by Daryl Anka. Again, this interdimensionality and this free space-time situation is these are the messages that we're now we're getting over and over and over again in different forms.
Yes, and we have our life here on Earth. And we have memories here, we have thought forms, experiences, and we have all this in this life. What if we took down the boundaries and suddenly a million other lives come into this one body? You do not want that.
Yeah.
You really want that division. So it's once you have these experiences, it's almost like you stop asking the question. So it's like you have a question, you get an answer, and then it doesn't matter anymore because you've experienced it and integrated whatever that teaching is.
Indeed. Jason, I'm very curious, and I don't mean to, I'll let Wes ask a few questions. I don't mean to hog things here, but I'm very curious. Now, the the being that was present when you had your, shall we say, this initial experience in your 20s,
yes.
Was there a connection between that being and the beings that represented themselves as either ancient Egyptians or possibly, you know, Anunnaki beings? Was there some connection there?
I would just say that we have a very, very large soul family and star family.
Yes.
It's massive. And if I could, I couldn't even count how many different star beings alone that I've come in contact with. I haven't seen any of these things in books or heard people talking about them. And the funny thing is that I've never seen a gray alien in my life.
Yeah, really.
That, I've never encountered them. And
yeah,
reptilians, I've never encountered them. Yeah. But all the other beings that I've encountered, they bring so much love and so much information. And it's almost like we're here on Earth to evolve our consciousness or to awaken our universal or our soul body to be this interdimensional consciousness being that we're supposed to be. And I believe that the Earth is a very good school in learning how to move from this type of reality into our universal reality. So I don't think there's connections, but everything's connected. And there's all these experiences where, you know, I'll be woken up in the middle of the night and there'll be like some star being there talking to me in their language. And I'll just be looking at them and saying, "Sorry, buddy, you got to speak English." And they look at me all confused, you know, and then they try to like communicate with me. But it's, you know how you have beings coming to Earth and, you know, coming to us for help or giving us information. It's no different than us. Like, I get called to different star systems all the time to help people or to give messages or to do these things. So it's like we think they're just coming to us, but we're actually going to other star systems and teaching other beings.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is absolutely fascinating.
That's who we really are. We have, you know, forgot. We've been so invested in the third density that we've forgotten who we are. And Jason, do you think that just back to these Egyptian modes, because I'm so fascinated by this aspect of your work, mm-hmm. have you in fact had prominent or important past lives where you were either in ancient Egypt or sometime previous to that? And also, I'd like to ask you if you have ever experienced a sensation of, how shall we say it, interdimensionality in Egyptian hieroglyphs. We did have a guest talk about that, who possibly these images are not just 2D images. They are meant to open different parts of consciousness.
Yes. I have been lucky enough to receive a lot of my past lives back. Uh-huh. So I have full memories from Egypt, from different lives I've been there. And I had lives teaching the mystery schools to the priesthood. I've had lives as Pharaoh, and I've had lives as the star beings that gave information to the Egyptians. So it comes naturally to me, this information.
Yes.
And the postures are extremely important. And you know, I could teach an entire week just on why these things are important.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people can stand in a posture, but they don't understand why they're standing in a posture and what it's doing. And what these postures do, each posture will connect to a different range of harmonics, the universal energies. And by holding those harmonics, we actually create energy fields throughout the body, and we create different channels of moving energy through our body. So when you do that in a series over many years, you're literally building your energetic body, or you're actually building, I would say, a new life. You're building new pathways. And when those things are built and set up, you're changing your reality. So it's a very advanced way of shifting the consciousness of a human being is through these postures.
I see. So it's through the shifting of consciousness, certain energetic responses can be created or elicited, which could work not only obviously for healing and for balancing of any other energy, but maybe even in the bigger picture, these energies could be used to manipulate matter.
Absolutely. And that's what was being done back in Lemuria, Atlantis, and Egypt.
Yes.
They had this knowledge, but it was a different time back then. And, you know, I'll give you a little history here because, for example, there's a lot of channels that have come out, so, you know, this may not be new knowledge, but Lemuria was extremely advanced. And they had contact throughout dimensions and throughout the galaxy for different star nations, would actually come to Earth and work with the Lemurians. And the Lemurians would actually go to other star systems as well. That's how advanced these beings were. But at the end of Lemuria, there was a very big war that broke out in our solar system. And the Lemurians had the power of, I'll call it the Earth grid, which is extremely powerful. And they used the electromagnetic fields of the Earth to wage war against another planet. And we'll call that the fifth planet in our solar system, which is now the asteroid belt.
Oh, wow.
So not only did the Lemurians and Earth completely wipe out that planet and destroy it, but in the process, we destroyed this planet as well. We completely ripped apart the Earth doing that, and we ripped apart our atmosphere doing that. So, and that from that destruction, the whole solar system's electromagnetic field, the orbit of the whole solar system, was thrown off. So this was very bad, not just for our solar system, but for other star nations around us, because it was started to affect their orbits.
Yeah.
So these star beings came here and established pyramids on the Earth, on Mars, on Jupiter, on all these different planets, almost like, you know how you have like a counterweight on a wheel?
Yes.
To balance your wheel. So think of our solar system as completely, the orbits are out of alignment. So they had to place these pyramid structures on specific points on the Earth grid to correct the wobble in the orbit, to fix the damage that was done by the Lemurians. And when it came to the Atlanteans, you know, they were taught as well how to use this Earth grid and the pyramid structures on the planet to, you know, have infinite power, to control the weather and the atmosphere. And I don't know if it's just a pattern, but then the Atlanteans tore apart the Earth with that technology as well.
They never learned.
So what happened was is that the knowledge keepers from Atlantis, they had to fix, again, the wobble of the Earth, and they put together, we'll call them the Egyptian grid, with the new pyramid developments that went into you know, the Mexico area, the South America, Egypt, Japan, China, all these pyramids, even in Bosnia, these pyramids were set up to fix the planet again. And there was an Egyptian pharaoh named Akhenaten.
Of course, who may have been the biblical Moses. We don't know. Or Abraham.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. And what happened was, is that he. By the way, back then the grid was still active. That's why I say it's a different Earth back then. And the grid was still active, and he was very afraid that the priesthood was going to use this power again to destroy the planet. Like, he just foresaw that the planet would be destroyed a third time because of greed and power and all these things that were going on back then. So he ordered that the pyramid earth grids be shut down. And that's when you get the story of the Ark of the Covenant leaving Egypt.
Oh.
All right, that was the control center for the earth grid. So it was, and then the limestone was taken off the pyramids, the capstone was taken off, so this whole system was shut down because he really did fear that we would destroy ourselves again. And I don't believe that we're in any position in this timeline to activate that earth grid again.
Uh-huh.
There's one person that figured it out and knew how to tap into it and even how to restart it, and that person's name is Nikola Tesla.
Yes, the great Tesla.
So he... He knew exactly what to do, because I believe that he was one of these beings reincarnated that controlled this earth grid.
He had to have been. He was, in the same sense as maybe Da Vinci or maybe even Benjamin Franklin. I mean, he was one of these beings that came in with access to his ancient knowledge.
Yeah. So he did it, and... You know, he had a lot of love for the people of Earth and the planet, and all he wanted to do was end all wars, give people unlimited free power, and he had technology to increase crops without pesticides or chemicals. But the most important thing that we forget about Tesla is he created many healing devices to help heal us of all diseases.
Oh, wow. Maybe you can tell us a bit about that. I was not even aware of that myself.
Right. And nobody is. Everybody thinks, you know, he was wiped out of our history books because of, you know, trying to give people free energy. I believe he was wiped out because, one, he had the information of the earth grid, which just can't come out because we'll just destroy the earth in a week.
Yeah.
But he had figured out that the human body is electrical in nature. And we're an energetic system that's being held together by consciousness, which is light, electromagnetic field, EMF frequencies. And if there's a disease or an imbalance or anything that's wrong with the person, you fix the energetics of the body and the matter will go into that alignment. So he created different devices from pulse magnetic field devices. So we would get pulsed with the magnetic fields of the planet to induce healing. He created something called the violet ray, which is a high frequency oscillator with a gas tube. And that put about 50,000 volts of electricity through every cell of your body. And it was almost like getting an ion bath. And that was pulling out all positive ionization, which ages us and kills us, and it's replacing it with negative ionization, which heals us and makes us younger. So have you ever heard of the term a quack doctor or a quack medical device?
Certainly, a snake oil salesman, a quack, yes.
Well, that term was invented to discredit Nikola Tesla.
Oh, really?
Yes. So anytime someone says, I have a quack device, I go, wow, that's amazing. That probably works better than anything else.
Wow.
Because what happened was, back in the early 1900s, different organizations like the AMA and Rockefeller Group and what's the other one? Carnegie Foundation.
Yeah.
They bought all these universities like McGill and St. John Hopkins, like all the medical hospitals. They purchased them, and what they did was, they said, at these are the only schools that you can get your doctor's licenses, and you're not allowed to teach anything except pharmacology. Anything else that a doctor tries to learn, like homeopathy, light therapy, ozone therapy, electrotherapy, if you try to learn that stuff, you're going to lose your license and you're going to be labeled a quack doctor. So that's how we lost this information.
So essentially, Big Pharma, the AMA, that this huge, massive financial complex, which involves the evil of insurance companies, all of this kind of stuff, is responsible for the suppression of Nikola Tesla's astonishing rediscovery, if you will.
Yes. And, you know, one of the easiest things and the most powerful things that he's discovered, have you heard of ozone therapy?
Yes, I have, yes.
Okay. That in itself is one of the most powerful forms of healing we have. And it's free, it's so easy to produce, and it's unlimited. And I don't know if you've heard of the story recently with the Ebola breakout in Africa, that there was a company from Vancouver who makes ozone devices. They went down there to actually give ozone therapy to the Ebola patients, and they were healing them. So we have all these really, really deadly diseases.
Yes.
That the medical association has come out and said, sorry guys, you know, medicine doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we have super viruses now. We can't do anything. So, but ozone will kill everything. Everything. There is no virus on the planet, or even in outer space, that can survive ozone.
Wow. Is it because the cells are highly ionized, or is that part of
it's because it's such, ozone is so oxidative that it will just tear apart everything. It will just kill everything. It's about 500 to 1,000 times more. It has a more sterilization effect than chlorine.
Uh-huh.
And the most amazing thing is that the human body has evolved in such a way that we have certain enzymes in our cells called SODs. And these SODs in our cells protect our healthy cells from ozone. So anything else in our body that doesn't have the protection of SODs will be destroyed.
Yeah.
Even chemicals.
Right. Anything that doesn't belong will be resolved.
Right.
Fascinating.
Yes.
And, you know, just there are so many, Jason, this is such a huge topic about how healing modalities that are tried and true have been, you know, suppressed and made illegal. And even in my, you know, my own little field of study of hypnotherapy, hypnosis is 5,000 years older, or older in the extreme. I mean, the Greeks and the Egyptians, which you will remember from your Egyptian life, I remember it, they had complete clinics devoted to the use of hypnosis. Now, it was done very differently than what we do today in therapeutic practice, but still, this is a tried and true therapy that is benign and that is 5,000 years old, and every province, every state, every board branch of the AMA is striving to make it illegal for us to practice this as trained professionals. It is a constant, constant fight for us to be able to practice legally.
We're in a sad state, but, you know, once truth is out there, you can't stop it from spreading.
Yeah, you can't put it back in the box. That's absolutely true.
So, you know, they can kick and scream and do these things, but eventually they'll just have to say, okay, you're right. It does work, and we have all these studies. So instead of fighting you, we're just going to license you and make money off of you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it's played.
Yeah, that's how it's played. Now, Jason, in your studies of Egyptology and the postures of power and such, now in many Egyptian reliefs, and certainly previous to that in the Sumerian culture, there are some interesting objects that I wonder if maybe you have been able to speak to. I guess the objects I'm thinking of are sometimes called, they look like purses. They're sometimes said to hold the waters of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the great Sumerian god kings are always pictured with them, and also the early pharaohs. And certainly the ankh, in a sense, the way it's held in, reliefs of the Sumerians and also in Egyptian work, it looks as if it's a directive, like a wand almost, like it's being held in the open end. And that seems so logical. That just looks right to me, that it was an actual tool, a literal tool.
Yes. Well, let's go back to the first thing, which is the Sumerians. You see them holding a bucket, and you see them holding what looks like a pine cone.
Yes.
And they're pointing, but you have to look at the whole picture. It's like, well, they're usually pointing at something we call the Tree of Life.
Yes.
Right, and it's always in the middle of those pictures, is this Tree of Life. And it's actually a very old story that, when the earth was destroyed, it was going through extreme weather conditions, like ice ages and floods and tidal waves and volcanoes. Like, the earth was not a fun place after the destruction of Lemuria and Atlantis. So these star beings came down here and they genetically modified us.
Yes.
They changed our DNA.
Yes.
And this is not to control us or anything like devious. This was done so that we can actually survive these earth changes.
I believe that. I do.
And so you look at you can look at archaeology and you'll see all these humanoid beings that just totally died off.
Yeah.
And the reason these other humanoids died off on the planet was because they didn't get that upgraded DNA.
Yes, yes. In fact, in the work of Sitchin, you know, he talks a great deal about how, you know, Enki, who was involved in the project, if you will, spent a lot of time observing different groups of hominids, if you will, until he found, in his own words, according to Sitchin, a species that had intelligence and also compassion.
Yes.
That's what he was looking for, and that became, and those particular, you could even call them Miocene apes, but those particular hominids became our ancestors.
That's right. So that's what's being depicted. You know, and the water is DNA. Like, the water is life. When it comes to the tools. Now, when the pyramids were activated and the earth grid was activated, there was infinite amount of energy available to us on the planet. So they had tools that they would use, like the Ankh, like the Waz staff,
yes,
like the Jed pillars. And what they were doing was they were setting up, I'll just call it Tesla wireless technology.
Yes.
That's what they were setting up. So they were actually using their body as the resistor.
I see.
And using these tools, they could channel the infinite amount of energy through their bodies and transmit them into objects, people. They could even travel through space and time with these objects.
Yes.
Because the physical body and consciousness is our space and dimensional vehicle.
Yeah.
But we need to have the right, we need to be in the right frequency range to accomplish this.
Right.
So these tools assisted in that.
Wow.
And, but, you know, we're talking about the earth grid and all these things, but, you know, where does that energy come from? You know, it has to come from somewhere. And all that energy actually comes from our sun.
Yes.
So this is why, you know, Akhenaten changed all the religion, and, you know, the highest source of creation itself was the sun, the solar deity, the winged disc, you know?
Yeah.
And once we understand that the sun, you know, light is information. There's information coming out of that sun. So when we go outside and we look at that sun, every cell in our body is being downloaded with new universal information.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're re-plugging ourselves back in.
Yeah.
So the sun is so connected to us that if, you know, we didn't have the right sunlight for a long amount of time, our magnetic fields would start to crumble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the sun is life.
Yeah. And how interesting, Jason, when you were mentioning that the you know, the Aten, the symbol of Akhenaten's you know, sun god, was a winged disc. You could also say that the symbol of the planet Nibiru was also a winged disc. It certainly was pictured always as having wings.
Yes. But also remember that any object that moves through the sky was given wings,
yeah,
to show motion.
Indeed. They were very literal, far more,
yeah,
literal than we, you know, than the current state of mainstream archaeology wants to admit to itself. The ancient peoples were very literal. Wes, did you want to ask a question of Jason while we have him on the line here?
Sure. Conscious of the time that we have, two things. One would just be a comment that by now I'm sure you're well aware your journey with out-of-the-body experiences has been gone through by others in similar ways, very similar ways. Robert Monroe was one of those, if you're familiar with his work, the Monroe Institute. And so he thought he was going crazy before somebody finally set him on the right path. The question I have for you has got to do with what kind of people, what nature of people come to accept and go through your training?
I would say that it's predetermined before we get here.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's because I think we also choose our families because of the genetic makeup that they would give us. So it's almost like we have a certain energetic system that needs to be integrated in a human body consciousness. So we'll actually choose and pick parents to incarnate through because they'll genetically give us the right type of setup we need for the unfoldment of consciousness that we're going to bring to this life. So yeah, to answer the question, I think it is predetermined, but You know, I teach the postures in different meditations because if you're consciously aware, and because everybody has the right to choose, we're all sovereign beings, like we can choose our paths. There are ways of practicing Qigong and the Egyptian postures and different meditations that will alter the energies through your system. So you can actually upgrade and change your DNA on Earth just by doing these practices.
Wow, that is, you know, Jason, I'm shocked to say that we're just coming down to the finish line here. I don't know where the time went, but luckily we're going to get a chance to hang out in person at Alien Cosmic Expo, so we'll be able to talk to, and I, of course, I want to hear about your recovery of your past life memories, if you worked with a hypnotherapist, and I have about 1,000 questions for you, so I'm going to have to buy you a few drinks and just sort of corral you, I don't know.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is indeed. Now, what is the best way for folks to get a hold of you, and do you have some teaching coming up in North America, in Canada or the States?
Actually, not yet. I haven't planned it. I thought I would take a couple months off after this trip to Japan, but I am going to be teaching at the Alien Cosmic Expo, talking about all these things. But you can reach me at thecrystalsun.com, and I have the books of the Egyptian postures. I have other Tesla healing machines and products that are on the website. And, just shoot me an email from the website, and I'm pretty good at getting back to people.
Wonderful. I wonder, do you think, Jason, in your contact with your guides and the beings that you interact with, do you think that Nikola Tesla has incarnated back into the physical plane to be here for this tremendously transitional time?
I've met a couple people already who claim they are. So what I'm thinking is, Nikola Tesla, his energy still lives in many of us. So we have that information encoded right in our DNA.
I see.
So we definitely have access to him and his information. And I think many people are coming out with the same discoveries and realizations of him. The problem being is that how do you integrate that into the society that we have today?
Yeah.
And that's the challenge.
Yes, indeed it is. I think it's going to be a great...